WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi has said he likes his designs to be witty, not too serious. Now he's satirizing the whole fashion world in a new series of oversized comic books called The Adventures of Sandy the Supermodel. Mizrahi became an overnight sensation when he had his first show in 1988 at the age of 25. Since then, he's dressed Liza Minnelli and Sandra Bernhardt and has been the subject of a popular documentary called Unzipped. Since the heroine of his new comic is a supermodel, I asked Mizrahi the difference between a model and a supermodel.
The funny thing is that in my mind, there really is no difference. It's a good model versus not, a not good model. There are many not good models. There are many good models that I work with. And, I'll tell you, that's another reason why I was obsessed with writing this book, because I owe so much to models. I always say that the most interesting part of my design work is not the dress, it's the woman, in which case the woman that I show the dress on is extremely important, and I think the ones I choose are really, really special, So in fact, you're recognizing the beauty of Naomi or Cindy or, Veronica or whoever it is. And then secondly, you're noticing what a pretty dress she's wearing. And, honestly, if you try to do that with an actress or with just a very beautiful woman that you meet on the street, it's difficult because the actress would tend to overpower the dress so you don't even notice what she's wearing, And a woman that you meet on the street might not know what was going on and she would just look sort of dead or vacant in the thing. If you were taking pictures or if you were showing it, these women, these supermodels, or just these good models that I'm talking about, really know how to dominate the dress, but not overly, not over-dominate the dress.
In one of the episodes of your Sandy the Supermodel comics, Sandy puts on 6 pounds.
Right.
And so the designer in there has to design, he has a brilliant idea, design clothes for women who aren't emaciated. And
right.
Of course, she's still pretty darn thin anyways.
I know. Well, that's kind of the joke. Yeah. That's kind of a joke in the book. You can't really notice the weight.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. But anyways, I know you used to be chubby as a kid.
Yes.
Have you ever thought of truly designing clothes for women who aren't really thin?
Well, I'll tell you something. I was chubby 3 years ago. I just lost about 30 pounds on this really fabulous program that I was on. I get asked that question a lot, and I've dabbled here and there with models, with bigger women, who are models. It doesn't seem to work. The clothes I design, I don't design for emaciated women. I happen to show them on very thin women because they look great on them. You know what I mean? And also because I'm not just an island. I'm part of a world of fashion that exists. And when you're speaking to fashion editors or showing them things, editors and buyers and customers, especially customers, really it all boils down to the customer. They look at the whole image as something that they aspire to, they dream of. You know what I mean? In other words, if they see something on a very thin woman, not only does it make them want the clothes because they're beautiful, but it makes them also think that they need to look like that.
Well, I'm just kind of wondering, as somebody who has, been chubby yourself, do you ever kind of resent this standard that's been put forward of an impossible to reach ideal?
Of course I do. Of course I resent it. I'll tell you, but look at all fashion advertising. I mean, if it worked to show clothes on people who were chubby or, not skinny, the Gap would do that. They don't. Even the most commercial people, really, they also use these women who are really, really thin to show their clothes because they look the best. But that doesn't mean that a T-shirt of mine looks any worse in a size 10 or a 12 or a 14. You know what I mean? They look well on people who like them and whom they suit and whom feel comfortable in them. So in the comic book, the joke is that when she gains the 6 pounds and she doesn't take it off, it's for larger reasons than because she won't work. She feels that she'd rather work less and do better at her work than take the weight off. And in fact, what it does is just the opposite of what she thinks. It makes her into a bigger star. You know what I mean? She leaves the weight on because of an emotional crisis that she's having. She cannot manage to take the weight off and maintain, you know, because what happened to me was I took off a little too much weight at one point. Not recently, but when I was in my 20s, I took off. I was so thin, it was frightening, you know, and people would say to me, really, darling, eat something, you know. And I was so happy about being thin, but I couldn't sleep and I couldn't function, you know. And I gained back a little of it, like 6 or 7 pounds. And I thought, well, I don't look as good, but, you know, I'm sleeping, I'm functioning. I can make sense of things, you know, especially in fashion or especially in anyone who has a very busy career. I think, you know, so much comes at them, you know, so quickly. And you know, being fat tends to make you sluggish, but sometimes being too thin is just not healthy emotionally.
Yeah, I'm still waiting, though, for some fashion designer to say, well, the heck with it. I'll just kind of redesign what the standard
guess what?
Is. What?
People have done that. I did that one season.
And what happened?
I did it. People, like, barely looked at the clothes. You know, it was a small collection. It was a spa thing. You know, I do 4 collections a year, 2 that have gigantic shows, and then the other 2 I show little shows in my showroom for the buyers and for the press. And, you know, I one show, 3 or 4 of the people in the show, the women, I chose from women that I had been recently engaged with, you know, I'd met recently. One of them I just actually discovered in a restaurant, and she was a beautiful 6 foot, I mean, she was just an Amazon with a real body. I mean, and she wasn't just 6 or 7 pounds overweight. She was about 20 pounds overweight, you know, but looking like, oh my God, so sexy. And she had absolutely so much confidence that anything she put on looked great, you know. And we did these fittings on her, and we showed, and people barely looked up from their programs. It was really embarrassing. And we got no reportage, and people didn't care about the clothes. It was really terrible. It didn't, I mean, you know, she was, you know, everything a model should be except that incredibly thin weight.
Right.
She had the walk, she had the face, she had everything, you know. And it was just, you know, this fabulous kind of flesh spilling forth, you know, which is a great look. I mean, it was Marilyn Monroe. Actually, it wasn't even as... Marilyn Monroe was fat, let's face it. I mean, she was a fatty, right?
Well,
she just happened
not by
to
the
be,
standards of the 50s, though.
Right, no. She sort of set the standards of the 50s. I mean, you know, all those women did. But you know what I mean. She wasn't even Marilyn Monroe, this woman.
Right.
She was slightly less than that, even, you know?
Isaac Mizrahi is my guest, and he has a new series of comic books called The Adventures of Sandy the Supermodel. Are there contemporary women or contemporary trends that you keep an eye on that you think are going to set the tone for what's interesting for the moment?
Oh, sure. Are you kidding?
Where do you look?
You know what? I don't really look in fashion magazines. I don't really look, you know, at those things at all. People sort of, sometimes I get in trouble because I don't know what people are talking about and I'm supposed to, you know? So I get sort of in trouble. But I'll tell you, I look at women, you know, I look at women I idolize women, I think. I don't know, women like Isabella Rossellini, I think, is a really stylish woman. I just look at her and I think, and you know, she's not fat. She's a model and she's not fat and she's not emaciated. She's kind of the right weight. Hello, there's one. Hello,
yeah,
right? Isabella Rossellini.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm not an ageist either. I mean, I've shown clothes on all different aged women, you know, but that this is where I look mostly for inspiration, is these incredibly stylish women. Isabella Rossellini, Jacqueline Schnabel. She's married to Julian Schnabel, and I think that she always looks so unbelievable. Once I was actually at the movies, in the middle of the day, I was just fed up with everything, and I had to get out, and I went to the movies, and, you know, there were 3 people in the movie theater, and Jacqueline Schnabel was one of them, and there she was in this, like, it was the middle of the summer. She was wearing this skirt of mine, which was so exciting, right? just this plain little straight skirt to the knee in this beautiful gray silk tweed fabric with a white t-shirt, you know, a Hanes t-shirt, and some fabulous little slide, you know, some shoe with a little heel on it, you know, a mule. Hot, hot, hot day. And there she was looking so cool and, you know, putting some little jewel. I don't know what it was, but it was her. It's funny. I think style is a person doing as they please. That's what style is. And looking as they please and saying what they please. You know, it's someone who goes with their first instinct. I say this a lot, but it's really true. When I walk into a room, well, at least when I'm designing clothes and I walk into a room full of fabrics, I know which fabrics I want. The minute I belabor the point and go over it too much and overwork it is when it becomes a mess, you know? Mm-hmm. When I stay on my course and I just go and do it, you know, that's when I'm best. And I notice that's women who get dressed quickly get look amazing. The faster someone gets dressed, the better they look. That's how I feel. Or at least the faster they select what they're going to wear, the better, you know. That's really the issue, of course.
My guest is fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi. He has a new comic book satirizing the fashion world called The Adventures of Sandy the Supermodel. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi is my guest, and now he has a new series of comic books about a character named Sandy the Supermodel. You were born in 1961 in Brooklyn, New York. I'd like you to describe the neighborhood where you grew up and mostly how people dressed there when you were a kid. What did the adults look like? What did the kids wear?
Okay. I come from a very, very small community, a Jewish community in Brooklyn, and one had money in that community.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of upper bourgeois, kind of upper middle class kind of a situation. And it was a very, very weird mix of ethics, you know, of all kinds. We were educated in a very, very strict yeshiva. Most of the kids from this community were, I mean, in Brooklyn. Very, very strict Orthodox Jewish yeshiva. But then, you know, suddenly it was like a glamour fest at home, you know? I'm serious. For all of us, I mean, everyone in that community in Brooklyn that I come from, it's quite a glamorous, formative experience, I would say. You know, there's a lot of decor going on, a lot of important decorators decorating those little houses in Brooklyn. A lot of every designer label you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Fashionable, you know. Yarmulkes too.
Oh yeah. And I'm telling you, it's so strange. You know, at the high holidays, really the issue was not giving thanks or whatever, you know, atoning for one's sins. It was really, you know, sort of competing in this fashion.
The new fall
arena.
Look.
Oh yeah, exactly. Right. Are you kidding? And that's why when I do clothes sometimes and I'm looking at a fall collection and I'm standing in a fitting and I say, oh, that is very high holidays because that is something that my mother is going to wear on Rosh Hashanah or it's true. So yeah. That's my formative experience. It's like this. It was like a fashion competition. It was like a fashion Olympics. You know,
when you were 8 years old, it was. Well, when you were 7 years old, 1968, it was the height of the hippie era. What did you think as a bud of a fashion designer? What did you think of the bell bottoms and the capes and the shawls and the peasant blouses? And
well, you know what? I was much, much more, comfortable with it once it became fashion. But as, you know, kind of the underground thing that was going on, I was really scared of it. I was really scared of drugs when I was little. I guess because my parents knocked the fear of God in me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And those are symbols of, you know, bell bottoms is sort of a symbol of drugs, you know? I can't help it. It's Janis Joplin just scared the daylights out of me when I was that age. The Rolling Stones scared the daylights out of me, you know?
How did you first become interested in women's clothes?
I don't know. You know, I often think it's because I was so chubby, you know, and I was so sort of left out of the whole thing. Not just at home, but in the whole community. I wasn't dressed up the way the other kids my age were, you know. I was dressed down because I was so fat and I couldn't fit into clothes and didn't look good in them. So, you know, I had a pair of platform shoes that would come out when I wanted to look foolish. You know what I mean? So, you know, I guess because I was outcast, I was dying to gain control in some way, and this is the way I did it. You know, I sort of became this holy terror, as my mother used to refer to me. And, you know, she'd say to me, what do you think? And I'd say, oh, that's horrible. Take it off. And she'd say, thank you very much, Mr. Designer. That was always my favorite line, Mr. Designer. What did I do for, you know, for 25 years before you were born? You know, that kind of thing.
Did your mother ever pick out clothes for you when you were a boy that you hated?
Sure. Oh, yes. That's all she used to do. I mean, because I was so awfully fat that I couldn't really fit into clothes that I liked. And so the choice was limited to begin with. And then on top of it, she had very strong ideas of what was flattering and what wasn't. You know, I'm sure that can be really mortifying. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of people who can relate to all of this. But
So what did you wear?
I remember having this really, really good Yves Saint Laurent olive green velvet jacket that was sort of my favorite thing. And also another Yves Saint Laurent navy blue kind of Indian peasant military like shirt jacket that was so great that I still actually have because it's just so well cut.
What did you hate that you had to wear?
Anything brown. You know, for some reason, that was always the color that they thought I looked best in, and I thought I looked lousy in it, you know. Anytime they bought me anything brown, it just kind of sat there, you know, and I'd wear it once and hate it and, you know, be all sullen and whatever it was, but.
Did you have to wear a uniform of any sort to the yeshiva?
Well, yes, you did. You had to wear a tie and a jacket and a shirt, you know, all this, sure, and a yarmulke and all of that. That's
and how'd you feel about that?
You get. Well, you know, one would interpret that. And then it's funny, like the girls were in the most unbelievable maxi skirts with wedgies and mini skirts and, you know, incredible Aran sweaters. And, you know, these incredible, it was funny. Jewelry and hair and makeup, you know, in the eighth grade. It was crazy. It was exciting. It was.
Fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi is my guest. What was your first opportunity to actually design clothes?
Well, you know, I graduated from Parsons and
the School of Design in New York.
Yes, the Parsons School of Design. And in the last year, I worked at Perry Ellis as an assistant. And when I finished school, I went to work there full time. So that was my first experience. And that was, I have to tell you, it was just a dream. I don't know. I think, you know, I guess when you look back on your life, it doesn't seem that, it seems like life gets more complicated. For some reason, when I was at Perry Ellis working there, it was very uncomplicated. I had very few responsibilities. All I thought about were clothes and fabrics and flowers and style, you know, which is sort of a great thing.
I would like you to describe something that you've designed in your 10 years of having your own shows that you're particularly proud of. You know, any outfit.
Okay, let's think. There's a dress in this collection that I'm extremely proud of. It's white, and it actually comes in black as well, by the way. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes it depends on the woman's attitude. Like sometimes you think, oh, a white dress, I can't wear it. You know? Anyway, it comes in black as well. And it's this crepe, this beautiful, beautiful, very thick silk crepe that stretch. It has a little lycra in it. And it's very fitted on top. It has long fitted sleeves. And it's just the deepest V-neck in the world. And it's long, the dress. And then it's sort of like a V that goes past the belly button. But then what ends up happening is there are these two sort of laces coming out of either side of the V-neck at the bust line, which tie around the waist. It sort of just goes around the waist and it sort of looks Grecian. And it's really a hard dress to wear. It's not a problem solver, but it makes a woman's body. The woman who can wear that dress is really, really lucky. The other thing I would say I'm really, really proud of inventing, when I first started, like maybe the third or fourth collection, I did this navy blue, I call it a prayer jacket because I don't know what else to call it. It's sort of a very loose, it's kind of a cross between a sweater and a Nehru jacket. It's kind of like a loose, and many, many people have copied it, you know. And with it, I showed that jacket with matching gabardine, what I called sack pants, which were just these giant pants that, like, you know, belted at the waist, that fit absolutely anybody at any time, anywhere, you know? So I'm just describing to you, like, the easiest thing in the world to wear. And also, like, before that, I described the hardest thing in the world to wear.
Right.
You know, so that's sort of what I think, you know what, it's like, I don't know about you, but for me, I have Gap t-shirts that I wear a lot, but I also have clothes that were made on Savile Row that cost thousands of dollars. And I don't buy a $5,000 coat every day. I buy one a year or one every 3 years, you know. But I do. I think that's what makes the Gap T-shirts look so good.
Isaac Mizrahi has a new comic book called The Adventures of Sandy the Supermodel. He'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi. He has a new comic book satirizing the fashion world called The Adventures of Sandy the Supermodel. What do you make of 70s retro?
You know what? I don't really know. I mean, it's so incredibly predominant these days, isn't it? I mean, just in the movies.
Right, right? Exactly. The Ice Storm, Boogie Nights.
Oh, forget before that, there was Casino. I mean, you know, there's many. I can think of 1,000 movies.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that, sure.
But you know what?
What?
What's exciting is that I think it's not important now. I think it's really a joke. It's really fun now. It's not anything more than that.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, a couple of years ago, though, it was really confusing. You know, 5 or 6 years ago, I was thinking, what is the modern day? Is there a modern day? You know? Now I think there is. Because for a while there, it seemed like every fashion designer, every filmmaker, every fictional, anybody making up any kind of art, it was only about like a specific decade. You know, it was about the 60s right. first and then the 70s. And I was thinking like, you know, there has to be more to fashion than knowing which decade to revive. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There has to be more to movies than that as well. And it seems like there is now. I can't put my finger on it, but it seems like there's a real 90s look that has emerged and a real 90s sensibility about everything. I mean, I'm really excited about the millennium because I think it's going to be a big artistic breakthrough. And I think that painting will come back, and particularly painting, because it's dead. Painting is dead, you know? Ballet is dead. I hope ballet will someday come back. I'm not sure it will in the millennium, but, you know, I mean, in the next 2 years.
You design one-of-a-kind things, you know, couture, and you also design for department stores.
Yes.
You have a line that's carried in department stores. What's the difference between your approach to each of those lines?
Well, you know, basically, I do them in the same way. It's my hands, it's my eyes. But the difference is, you know, in one line, that's the sort of popularly priced one, I solve problems only. You know what I mean? You know, if the thing doesn't click along and make your life easier to live, then there's no point in my doing it.
When you say solve problems, what do you mean?
In other words, this sweater is going to be great for me because I can wear it from 7 in the morning till midnight, you know, and I can go from every single meeting I have to go. I have to pick up the kids, come home, get the prescription, go back to dinner, and then go out to this little get-together. You know, that's the way people live today, you know. Or it's so incredibly delightful that I can't resist it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I tend to put more emphasis on the latter when I'm doing my collection, when I'm doing, you know, the expensive clothes.
Right.
I think mostly about delighting a woman, you know?
Now, I understand that you like fur a lot. And in the movie about you Unzipped, you're mm-hmm. you know, you're doing a whole fur-related thing. I'm very inspired by the movie Nanak of the North.
Yes.
Wearing fur is, of course, very politically incorrect right now. So how do you handle that?
I don't know. Honestly, I it's not an issue for me. I don't think it's politically incorrect. So, I just think it's beautiful and luxurious.
So you're doing fur?
Yes. Well, you know, the way I did it for fall was I sort of used recycled fur only. You know, I mean, that's not to say that I don't. I wouldn't use new fur.
I would.
You know. It's all your level of tolerance. I think the worst thing in the world is, I mean, I understand fur activists, and in a way I'm a fur activist too, because I don't think that fur should be mass produced. I think that's a sin. That's disgusting, you know, to like slaughter these mink coats, slaughter these minks to make mink coats that are going to be marked down. You know, I don't believe in that. That's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But beautiful, beautiful fur is like as old as it's you know, I think the second oldest profession in the world is furrier.
Right.
Really. And I don't see how you can put an end to that. I don't see how you can totally and completely put an end to that.
What do you like to wear usually?
What do I like to wear?
Yeah. How do you usually dress
let's
during
see.
The day?
Let's see. I wear slim cut pants that are a beautiful, beautiful grade of Italian wool.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful Italian socks, you know, sort of woolen socks that are thin. Belgian loafers, which are these shoes that I get on 54th Street that is the only things I can wear because for some reason they are the only shoes that fit my feet. And they're handmade, actually, in Belgium. And what else do I wear? I wear a lot of T-shirts, whether they're, you know, from The Gap or from some other place. I wear a lot of cashmere sweaters. I have a giant, giant collection of cardigans and crew necks and V-necks. And I wear all these jackets that I have made in England.
Have you ever had the desire to wear, not women's clothes, but clothes as kind of flamboyant and outrageous as some women's clothes? Like that long V-neck thing that you described. You know what I mean?
Yes. You know what? If I did, I would. I have a pair of high heels that this fabulous shoemaker made me in Italy that are just like these boots, and they have this really high kind of setback heel with a pointed toe. They're beautiful. They're sort of brown and they lace up to the ankle, and they're serious. I mean, you know, I would actually wear them out if I had something to wear them to. I have a kilt. I wear a kilt sometimes, you know, but it doesn't really, I don't get into dress up. You know, I never considered myself a great, great beauty, you know. If I was better looking, I think I'd dress up more. You know, I have some fabulous flamboyant clothes that I wear occasionally only because I want to feel different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I want to feel like a girl or feel like a boy or whatever. I want to feel different sometimes. I don't want to wear these black jeans every day and these Belgian loafers every single day.
Fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi, he's written a new comic book called The Adventures of Sandy the Supermodel.